heaven, we are so grateful that Jesus has come. And God, I knew what life was like without Jesus at the beginning of my life, and there's no comparison of that life to this one now with Jesus. So Jesus, we pray that you come with freshness into our hearts, and for those of us that have known you a long time, and Lord, your coming was not an easy thing for people. And just as the testimony this morning of it can be a little scary, a little challenging, a little awkward, but we pray that you open up our hearts. And for those of us that don't know you, let us come to know you, Jesus, as God, the God in heaven, part of the Trinity, the Son of the Father, who came to be so present in our lives, to become flesh and blood. But for that to happen, the extraordinary things you called upon some men and women to do. So we pray your Holy Spirit be upon Sarah, the heaviness of your presence in her, with great measures of joy to speak that story into our lives. In your name, amen.
Amen. Can you all hear me? Hello? Okay, good. I had to be very careful not to have that on when I'm singing because I know my skills, and that's not one of them. So, good morning. So, Craig asked me to do a Christmas sermon, and to be honest, it didn't cause me a whole lot of joy right at the beginning because it just is so traditional. It's so been done. I processed through that and read through the Christmas story, and I did get some fresh revelation that I wanted to share with you today. So when you think of Christmas, what comes to mind? Presents, gifts, yes, most definitely. Family getting together, maybe, some good food. I like Christmas cookies. I definitely like white, sparkly Christmas lights. I love the Christmas music. I love the Christmas smells, the pine and the cinnamon. My family tends to have a little bit more time over Christmas, so we like to watch some movies, and one of our favorite movies is Elf. It may not be super, super spiritual, but my favorite movie line in that movie is, "You're not Santa Claus, you smell like beef and cheese." Do you instantly think of Jesus? Do you instantly think of Mary and Joseph and the wise man? As I read the Christmas story this year, what came to my mind as I read it again is how much courage Mary and Joseph had to have. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Three areas specifically. We're going to talk about the courage of Mary, the courage of Joseph, and then what the Bible has to tell us about courage itself. I like to think of courage as fuel. And it's fuel for us to continue to move forward in life and in our walk with Jesus. It's what propels us forward. If we don't choose courage, we find that we don't grow. We don't move through our circumstances. We sometimes feel like we're stuck, don't we? It's like you're walking and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I can't move. And then you look down and realize, oh my gosh, I found some quicksand. And if we tend to struggle and really not move forward, we tend to sink in the quicksand to the point where we feel like we really can't get out and we can't move forward. And God wants us to choose courage so that we can experience him personally and we can continue to move forward through our circumstances and that we can continue to grow spiritually. So let's pray. Father, before we jump in, I just want to say thank you. I thank you for your Father's heart that loves us so much that you sent your son Jesus. And we thank you for Jesus, that he came in the form of a human being, helpless and a baby. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's work to bring the truth of the Bible and the stories of Jesus to life in our hearts. And we just want to give you permission today, Holy Spirit, to work in us. Bring us personally what you need us to grasp from this teaching today, and that we would have the courage to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So y'all know I like to define things. So what's your definition of courage? Do you have one? Yes, in The Wizard of Oz, right. That's what came to my mind, too. It was like this big, strong lion that had to have all this bravado, and he had to talk big and stand up really tall because he didn't have it inside to have that strength. Totally love it. God's definition of that is mental or moral strength. And that was a little different for me to think about this year. Courage can be connected to our physical strength, but I think it's more connected to our moral strength and our mental strength. What we choose when our circumstances are really hard has to come from our mental or moral strength. And if you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, what do I really have mental strength about? What am I morally strong about? What is so unwavering in our minds that nothing, absolutely nothing, will change our mind? Is it making money? Is it getting out of debt? How about getting ahead at your job? Is it building up your marriage and your spouse? Is it holding on to unforgiveness or thoughts of revenge against somebody who's hurt you? Are you mentally strong about loving others? Are you morally strong about blessing others? Is it about God and who he is? Is it about his goodness and his nature and his character or what he's done for you personally? A picture comes to mind when I think of what it looks like to have unwavering mental or moral strength. We're going to be talking about movies because it's Christmas time and I like movies. But when I think about somebody having mental or moral strength, I think of the movie Braveheart. Have you guys ever seen that movie? How many? And has anybody? Okay, good. It involves a man named William Wallace, and he was a Scottish warrior who waged war against Edward of Longshanks in the 1300s. His courage came from his moral and mental conviction of doing whatever it took to get his people free from English oppression. He physically did not stop until he was captured and killed. And I don't know if you guys remember that last scene where he's literally getting ready to be crucified, and his last cry was, "For freedom!" He could not have done that, he could not have been that, if his mind and his mental strength and his moral strength were not really strong. That's the only way I think that he could have done that. It is based on a true story. We see this mental and moral strength, I think, in our military today too. In basic training, drill sergeants are charged with training the new soldiers that come in. The soldiers are getting in shape physically. There's definitely a physical aspect to it. But I think what the drill sergeants are doing are actually even training them in deeper ways for mental strength and moral strength. They're sharpening their minds so that they can get to the point that they are so mentally focused and strong that they'd be able to move forward with anything that happens to them physically. Now, being called a drill sergeant might not be good if your spouse calls you that or your children refer to you as that. But I think that the job description of that person is somebody who's training someone else in mental or moral strength. I think Jesus wants to be that for us today. He's not a drill sergeant where he's do this, do that, do that, but he's gently inviting us into a place where we let him lead us and we let him train us and we let him make us mentally and morally strong. A friend of mine recently had her son who's in the Army. He jumped out of an airplane and he had a parachute that didn't open. And he fell over 1,000 feet. And because of his mental training and his moral training, he survived and was able to walk away. That doesn't happen normally. So I think it was because, obviously, of God's grace, but also because of his training that he was able to survive that. And it's pretty remarkable. So before we go on too much further, I just want to ask for the Spirit to come in and just really press maybe on some areas in our own lives. What are some situations that you're facing right now that are really hard? Are there places where you know that you need to be mentally strong, maybe even morally strong? Is it a hard relationship that you're needing to navigate through? Is it an addiction? Is it a health concern? A financial concern? Is it something that you need to talk to somebody about and you know it's going to be a really hard conversation, but you feel like Aaron did, that pressure of, gosh, I need to do this? Is it something that you're supposed to do but are having a hard time doing it and following through? Is there an area that God is calling you into a deeper level of trust in Him? Scripture is full of things about courage. I want to first look at the Christmas story and see how Mary chose courage. And her story begins in Luke chapter 1. It's verses 26 through 38. I think we're going to have them up there too. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child her own age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." And the angel left her. I think when we think of Mary, sometimes we think of this super awesome woman who gave birth to a Savior, and she was that. But I think sometimes we forget that she's human, that she has thoughts and emotions and feelings, much like we would if we were in that situation. When this was happening to her, she was about 13 years old. When I was 13, I thought, whew, I'm so old. Yeah, not so much. As a parent now, you can look back and say, oh my gosh, you're just a baby. But she was about 13 years old. She was untrained, unable to provide for herself. Women in these times were dependent on their families if they were not married, and then they would become dependent on their husbands once they became married. So she was kind of in this interim space between being dependent on her family and then her future husband. She was engaged, but she was a virgin, and she's pregnant. In these times, sexual immorality was grounds for divorce. And if you were divorced in those times, you would have been left destitute. You would have had no one to protect you, provide for you, give you safety. And I just for a second want us to put ourselves in Mary's shoes if we can. Guys, I know you're not female. So I know that might be hard. And I know you'll never be pregnant and have to tell your fiancé that you're pregnant. But if you can just put yourselves in her shoes, guys, for a second and kind of imagine what it would be like to tell your fiancé something that's really, really hard. And you're not sure if they're going to believe you, even though it's true. Imagine having to tell your fiancé that you were pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Come on now, that's a bit awkward, to use Aaron's terms. My husband loves me, and I do not know that he would believe me. I don't know that my pastor would believe me if I told him I was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How would you even begin that conversation? Hey, guess what happened to me last night? How do you begin that? And I think we have to think about the things that Mary would have thought about when she was deciding whether or not she was going to have a conversation with Joseph. I think she had to think, am I going to lose him? Am I going to lose my family? What's the rest of my life going to look like? How am I going to handle his reaction. How am I going to handle my whole village thinking I'm a liar? And guys, think about for a second what it would be like to be Joseph and hearing this. You know you're not the dad because you haven't been intimate with her. Yet she's pregnant. How would you respond to somebody that you love if they told you this story? Would you think she was cray-cray and run for the hills? Or would you believe her? And for both of them, imagine how they must have felt knowing that they did nothing immoral, but that everyone in their village, their family, everyone would question their morality. People would assume that they were dishonorable and liars and that they deserve the consequences of their actions, right? How would you handle when people don't believe you something that you know is true? We know the end of the story. We know that Mary moved through it and that she gave birth to a Savior, but she didn't know any of this stuff in this moment in time when she had a choice to make. She could have handled this choice a couple different ways. She could have run for the hills herself. She could have chosen to do nothing and just see how it would all play out. And my friend Jill says, even when you don't make a choice, that's a choice. Or she could have chosen courage and told Joseph what was going on. And how do we know what she chose? It says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. May it be to me as you have said. She experienced God's presence. And it was pretty easy, I think, for her to make that choice. I didn't see a lot of hemming and hawing as she processed this. She had an experience with the Lord. She met with him. She experienced his presence. And she said, may it be so according to your word. And she chose courage. She became mentally strong to move forward through her circumstances. So like Mary, do you guys have a hard conversation that you need to have with someone? Do you need to apologize to a friend that you know you've hurt? Do you need to disclose something to your spouse or to someone in your family that you've been keeping from them? Do you honestly need to have an honest conversation with God about something? I think Mary's example of courage is one to follow. And when we choose courage, we can experience God in that place. When we say, yes, may it be so according to your word, even if it's hard, choose courage. That's Mary. Now we're going to talk about Joseph. So for the guys that had a hard time putting themselves in Mary's place, we can talk about Joseph for just a moment. So Joseph's story begins in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read just two verses first, 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus and the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Do you think he chose courage in those first two verses? He also had a choice to make. And we can tell from this passage that Mary had had the conversation with him because it said that she was pregnant with the Holy Spirit and he knew that. So we can assume that there was the conversation. And he had a choice. He could divorce her quietly or he could choose to bring her home. And he had chosen, I don't think, the courageous thing. He chose to divorce her quietly. But then he had an experience with the Lord. So verse 20 goes on to say, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It goes on to say in verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he didn't. Oop, yep, we're going to stop there. He took her home as his wife. So he had not chosen, I think, a place of courage, had an experience with the Lord. And then he took her home and chose, I think, to be courageous to go through the circumstances, even though they both knew it was going to be hard. So as Joseph and Mary experienced God's presence personally, it was easier for them to choose courage. So let's talk about the Bible and what it says about courage. I have three different passages that are listed on your outline. At the bottom of the outline, there are some more scriptures about courage if you want to just do a little bit more reading later. But I want to look at Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, "Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Joshua 1:5-9, this is one of my favorite passages ever. "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That passage is so full of promise. And I think that's what he wants us to really grasp today, the promise that he will be with us. And then 1 Chronicles 28:20. David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work." So those things that God puts on our heart, we have to do the work. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until the work of the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." This passage was specifically about rebuilding the temple, but I think it's a promise for us today, because I think God does ask us to do things sometimes, like he was pressing on Aaron to pray for a friend. I think we have to have courage in those times. Aaron, thank you for sharing. That was such a great story. So what do every one of these passages have in common? They have in common that God was with them and they knew it. Mary and Joseph had courage. They chose courage because God was with them and they knew it. In fact, all the passages that I researched on courage, all of them connected to our ability to choose courage, to our knowing that God will be with us. So let's talk about this for a minute. If courage is defined as having mental or moral strength, then having courage is being so committed to something or to someone that you refuse to change your mind. You refuse to change your course of direction. You don't waver in your focus or your purpose. And let me be clear. When we're talking about choosing courage here, we're choosing it for God's purpose. We're not choosing it to win an argument or to be stubborn for the sake of being stubborn. It's for God's purpose. I was watching a movie called Prince Caspian a few years ago, and this became really solidified in my heart as I watched this scene in this movie. So this is Lucy, and this is Aslan. And in the movie, Aslan represents Jesus Christ. Jesus and Aslan, they're fierce, king of the jungle, huge, strong, powerful, everything that you would want in someone that you're fighting with. This picture's really hard, but right here, Lucy has a weapon in her hand, and it's a sword about this big. It's like no bigger than a letter opener. And that was the only weapon that she had, except knowing that Aslan was with her. And then the next slide, as they're standing on this bridge, oh, that's a bad picture. So right up there, that's them standing there on the bridge. All these little black things, this is what was coming toward them on the bridge. And that was the naughty army. the bad guys. They were starting to come in toward her. And yet, she planted herself on that bridge, and she did not move. And I think she didn't move because she knew that Aslan was with her. And I think that's what we can take from how much power and authority comes with being next to Jesus Christ. That we can choose courage when we know he's with us. So we've talked a lot about having courage, choosing courage, and I just want to end today talking about the thing that holds us back from really knowing that. And I think it's when we don't know that God is with us that it's hard to choose courage. If we discover that we haven't chosen courage, and maybe we realize today, oh my gosh, I am stuck, there's hope to get out. And you can get out of the quicksand. And I think that there are three things that we can do to help us get out of that pit. The first thing that I think we have to do is drop everything. Sometimes if we're walking along, sometimes we're carrying a backpack. Sometimes we're carrying luggage. Sometimes there are things in those bags that weigh us down. Things like fear. Things like, gosh, if I do this, what are people going to think? Am I going to look crazy to a friend when I ask him to pray for him? I think we have to let go of doing things our way. Because when I do things my way, I mess it up all the time. God's ways are better, and I think when we can let our agendas and our thought processes and the things that we think are good, when we let those go, it lightens our load, and we tend not to sink as much. I think the other thing that we have to really let go of is busyness. Busyness can give us the appearance of having a spiritual life, especially if we do things in church. But sometimes it robs us of the thing, the time, for us to really meet with the Lord, to have him really give us his presence so that we know that we know that we know that we've met with the Lord. I think if we're doing work more than meeting with him, I think he'd rather let us have those things go for a moment so that we can meet with him. Because when we know that we know that we know that he's with us, we can choose courage and we can continue to grow and move forward. The second thing I think we have to do is move horizontally. When you're in quicksand or feeling trapped, I think our natural inclination is to kick and to fight and to try and claw our way out of it, but that actually causes us to sink even deeper. We need to stop trying to get unstuck by ourselves. Our natural inclination is going to be to fight more. And I think sometimes we fight God in those times when all he wants to do is meet with us. When I think about moving horizontally, I think it means stop looking for the answers by myself, looking to my spouse to give me the answers, looking even to my pastor. I love you, Craig. But stop looking to people to give you those answers, because there is one that can give you the answer that you really need, and his name is Jesus. I think it's moving from a place of fighting and kicking to a place of not moving. And then you start to move down. And you get to your knees and you stop fighting. And I think even letting your hands down and just saying, okay, I'm done fighting. And then I think to even get to a place where you can lay back, which is the third thing that we can do. Mary knew that she had the favor of God. Favor is having the entire full presence of the Lord with you. And I think we have to lay back, completely lay down and rest in his presence. Stop moving. Stop doing and just say, Father, I need you to come. And I think he thinks that's the most powerful position that we can be in, is to just be completely vulnerable and humble and say, Father, I need you. Now, laying back may involve a conversation with Jesus. It may be prayer. It may be listening to worship music. It may be listening to scripture. It may be reading scripture. But I think one of the ways that we can hear him and know that he's with us is to hear his voice directly. John 10 says that we hear his voice, meaning he's already speaking to us. He's already speaking to us. What we have to do is figure out how to hear his voice. And I think it's easier to do it in that place of complete surrender. Now, dropping everything, moving horizontally and laying back may include all these things. So I don't want you guys to take away from this, don't read your Bible, don't listen, don't pray. That's not what I'm saying. But some of the most profound times that I've experienced God's presence were when I wasn't asking for it. He just came, bam. They were in times when I was just worshiping or just sitting in my shower and praying and just said, what do you have for me today? I think a simple question like that, what do you have for me today? What do you want to say to me today? Super spiritual question, what you got for me today? I think just asking those open-ended questions allows him to come in and just speak what he knows we need to hear, not what we think we need to hear, not that we need an answer between X, Y, and Z. What do you have for me today? When you get those little nuggets, when you get that moment in time where you know that you're in the presence of the Lord, when it's so holy you don't want to breathe because you don't want it to leave. If you've never had those experiences, it's okay. Today can be a day where you can start to pray. I want an experience like that, that I know that I know that I know that you are with me. Because it's the only thing he wants to give us. He wants to give us other things. But in this moment, I think he wants us to know more than anything, I am with you. There's not going to be any formula. My experience with experiencing God's presence is going to look different than Jamie's, which will look different than Jason's, which will look different than Karen's, and that's a beautiful thing. They're going to look different. But I think sometimes to experience his presence means doing less, talking less, listening more, resting more. Can you think of any times when you've had to, like when you think back and realize, wow, I had a choice in that moment to choose courage, to be mentally or morally strong? You may have had those experiences where you can look back and see that. It may be that you'll have more to come, and this hopefully will give you a grid for choosing courage. I was thinking, Craig asked me, well, what about you? And there definitely have been seasons and decisions that I've had to make where I had to choose courage, but if I thought, after thinking about it, it was more of a theme. Every time I had to really choose courage, it was in reference to my speaking, because the enemy has really tried to rob me of my voice, and I'm not going to let him do it anymore. It started actually in Namibia when we went a couple years ago. First of all, I said I would never go to Africa. Julie Osborne is my witness. And I had to do a teaching. We were asked to kind of minister and to encourage the staff there. And I had a pretty strong word that was really hard to give. I have a compassion gift, so I can feel when somebody's hurt. And then to give a strong word where I know it's going to be hurtful, it was really hard. And I love Julie Osborne, but I might have laid in my bed and I said, God, how come Julie Osborne gets the ones that says, Jesus loves you, and I get this one? I had to choose, and it was really hard, but I did. And I think that moment kind of started me on a path, I think, to a deeper level of understanding my true identity. And I'm so grateful. It was hard, but I was so grateful for the opportunity to have to choose it. We can recognize when somebody has chosen courage because we can see that they're facing a really hard circumstance or maybe in the middle of a hard circumstance, and we can see them moving forward through it. We can see that they're not getting stuck. And I think as a church, we can celebrate when people are continuing to move forward and continuing to move in courage. I love Diana Graham having cancer and having to move forward through it, and there is something that has shifted with her in the area of worship that's beautiful. And I think as a church, if we're seeing people maybe getting stuck, to be cheerleaders. Guys, you don't have to stay here. There is a better way. And we can help pull them out if they really are stuck. We can speak truth. We can pray for them. Sometimes maybe even get in their face. I love you, Craig. He's done that to me a couple times. What are you doing? And I love it. We can be that for one another. We can be a rope to help get them out of the quicksand. So I guess I just want to end today with an encouragement to choose courage. Mary and Joseph are great examples of how they process through it. You can see how they move forward. And the scriptures, I think, are full of promises for us. I love taking scripture and like figuring out how to apply it to my life. Those three passages, every single one of them, don't be afraid because I'm going to be with you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that your word says that you will always be with us. And God, I just really sense today that there are people that maybe don't know that today. And I want to ask by your Spirit that you come and speak truth to them, that you would give them pictures in their mind, that you would give them a dream like Joseph, that you would choose to meet with us however you want us to know that you are with us. And God, if there were times that maybe we didn't choose to trust that, where we ran for the hills, God, I ask in Jesus' name that you forgive us for that. And God, that you would give us another opportunity to choose courage and to choose that you will be with us. God, that we would be a church that would be praying big and bold prayers about your presence coming in and meeting with us. God, that you would start with us as individuals, and that would shape a new thing in the church, not just New Crossing, God, but in all of us and all the churches, God, that your presence would come in such a powerful way that people would not be able to deny that you're real. And God, that we would be like Lucy on that bridge, knowing that you are with us and that you will fight for us and stand with us and protect us. God, would you come and do a work, because we really, really, really want to be people that invite you into these places in our hearts. Come with your courage, come with your Spirit, come with your strength, come with your truth.